Well, hello, everyone. Okay, we are here. We're ready to go today. Started a series a while ago. The Life of David. And we learned that life is a schoolroom. Did you know that? Every time you walk out the door, you're walking into a classroom, hopefully, you're going to learn some things. Things about life, things about yourself. Today, we're going to learn some things, about God. I think we can all agree on this. Some things don't work out the way we'd like them to. That ever happen to you? We can have the best ideas, so we think, make the best plans, and assure ourselves of a wonderful result. Sometimes, just doesn't work out the way we thought it would. If that's ever happened to you, don't despair. We're going to see why today. That's what happened with Israel and their first appointed king. Israel had high hopes for their first king, but he turned out to be a dud. Has that ever happened to you, ladies? High hopes for someone? Maybe you went on a blind date, and then, boom, a dud. No spark, no blast, just a dud. Yeah. Well, you know, that does happen. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to see today that, in spite of that, you know what? We're going to learn a very important lesson. God always has a plan. And that is good to know. It's good to know. God always knows what he's going to do. Now, that's what King Saul was. King Saul was a dud. He was a man who proved that, here it comes, here's our first life lesson. If you get away from a personal relationship with God, your whole temperament will change. You know that? See, a walk with God can shape your temperament. Might not. It doesn't necessarily change your personality. I gave up on that years ago. But it can change your temperament. And when you get away from your walk with God, it changes your temperament for the worse. And this negative change can result in the disqualification of a position, especially a position of leadership. So there are three big mistakes that Saul made. Number one, he was impatient. He made a bad decision. He offered a burnt offering to God without waiting for Samuel, whose job it was to offer the offering in 1 Samuel 13. And then mistake number two, because he was impulsive. You know what he did? He pronounced a death sentence upon his son for violating his command to abstain from food. Yet his son Jonathan, he didn't even know about the command. And then thirdly, because Saul was rebellious, he openly disobeyed God by keeping some of the spoils of a battle after God forbid him to take anything from the battle. And now, to make matters worse, you know what's happening? Saul is becoming more image conscious than sin conscious. And that's the last straw. This disqualified him from the throne. He wasn't going to be king anymore. Now, Samuel knew that Saul would no longer be king. But the question was, who would be? Who would be the next king? Who would take his place? Well, here's the true-to-life principle. Where man panics, God provides. Simple to remember, right? Where man panics, God provides. So we never want to forget, God always has a plan. You know, even before there was sin in the world, God had a plan for our salvation. What does the Bible tell us? That Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Want to write that down? Revelation 13:3. So, Saul had disqualified himself from his position, God knew what he was going to do. He already had a man in mind. And you know who the man was? Young David. At that time, he's just a boy. That's okay. So here's a great thing about God. When a man or even a woman, ladies, I'm not going to leave you out. When we fail, nothing of God fails. When our lives are altered by the unexpected, nothing of God is altered. Okay? Why? Because God has a plan. And God's plan will come to fruition. Even Samuel had to learn this about God. So we pick it up in 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord God, or the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Now, Samuel obeyed God, but he feared for his life. In verse 2, Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And you know what the Lord said? Take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, the road from Ramah, where Samuel was, to Bethlehem, passed through Gibeah. That's where Saul was. Saul already knew that the Lord had chosen someone else to replace him as king. So Samuel fears, that jealousy will incite Saul to violence. And Samuel's going to go right through Saul's territory. What do you do when you're fearful? How do you handle fear? Well, Psalm 105 verse 4 says, look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. That's how you handle fear. And you know what you do? You practice that. You practice Psalm 105 verse 4. You know why? Because practice makes perfect. Now, God didn't even answer Samuel's question. Saul questions God. What if Saul hears of it? God didn't even entertain it. You know what he did? He just told him what to do. He said, just go to Bethlehem. Go see Jesse. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do. And you will anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. Remember Saul, the first king, the people designated him. They liked him. He's a big, good-looking guy. But now God is saying, no, I'm going to pick the next king. In verse 4, Samuel did it. I don't think he was thrilled about it. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city, they came trembling to meet him. And they said, do you come in peace? They figured, if a prophet of God is coming to town, it must be trouble. What's going on? Do you come in peace? See, doing God's will doesn't require agreement, just obedience. Samuel, you don't have to agree with God. Just obey what he says. You're a prophet. And I see this as an upcoming sin in the church today. You know that? What's the latest sin in the church? Well, it's not the sin of adultery. It's not the sin of stealing, gossiping. Unfortunately, those have always been around. But there's a new one in the church today. And you know what that new sin is? People are faithful until they disagree. That's the new sin. We're all living in a generation when people, even Christians, they do what they want when they disagree with God. And it's all in the name of convenience. In your own disagreements with God, do you still remain faithful or do you do your own thing? I know what God says, but this is what I'm going to do. I believe, listen, if you're going to be a good leader, you've got to be a good follower. And that means you might not always be in agreement with God, but you're going to remember what God says and you're going to do what God says. And the promise that was made to Israel, I think in principle, we can find application. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in a future. Now, that was made to Israel. But in principle, I think we can abide in that, Jeremiah 29:11. So look, today we're living in an age of convenience. And people have no problem living contrary to God's will because it's more convenient, it's easier, it's more fun. And it happens, yes, even with Christians, God's people. So, okay, Samuel went to Jesse, and he had a roll call of all of his sons to see who would be the next king of Israel. He brought out 7 sons. But God had not chosen any of those that Jesse brought forth. Huh. And Samuel said to Jesse in verse 11, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, but he's tending the sheep." I mean, I didn't think you'd want him. He's just a teenager. You got my other 7 here. These guys are big and strong. Probably they'd make a good leader. Well, Samuel said, "Then go get him." "Send for him and bring him here. And you know what? We're not going to sit down until he comes here. We're going to stand around waiting for David." And then they go and get David and they bring him in verse 12. And you know what? He's the chosen one. He sent and brought him. And now David was ruddy, which means red, like a redhead. Says he had beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him." This is the one. This is he. See, God always knew. Isn't that a kicker? God always knows. We don't. God does. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, ooh, in the midst of his brothers. What do you think their brothers are thinking? "Why are you anointing him? Look at us." He anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And you know what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Wow. Now, these two verses taken together, they relate the transfer of God's enabling spirit from Saul to David. And they mark the beginning of God's displacement of Saul by David as Israel's king. So now we see a transition going on. So, what did David do after he was anointed king? Well, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't go downtown looking for royal robes and golden crowns. You know what he did? He went back to taking care of the sheep. That's what he did. What was David's secret? He knew how to wait on God. Okay, I'm going to be king, just not today. That's all. Not today. When it's time, God will raise me up. And David went back, though the anointed next king, to being a shepherd. See, with God, we do not seize things, we receive them. Did you get that? With God, we do not seize things, we receive them. I see here 3 lessons from David's life. What can we learn from watching David? And this whole story of Samuel going to Jesse and picking out one of the sons and anointing him. Number 1, be open. God's solutions, yeah, they're often strange, yet simple. Strange, but simple. We often ask questions and try to figure him out. When God says, "Listen, just go where I tell you, do what I say, and trust me." That's it. Sometimes that's all that God will say. He did it with Abraham. He did it with Noah. He did it when he called Moses out of Midian. Right? Same thing. Go where I tell you, do what I say, and trust me. That's what it means to be open to God. Samuel had to do that in his service to God. Remember, God's word is always there to direct our path, right? Why do we have his word? Why do you go to church every Sunday and learn the scriptures? Because they direct your path. That's why. It's your roadmap for life. That's why. Secondly, the next lesson we can learn, be ready. Live a life where you are ready. See, God's promotions are usually sudden and surprising. So David had to live a prepared life because one day the call would come and he didn't know when it was going to come. It wasn't like, okay, David, go take care of the sheep. In 2 years, 3 months, and 6 days, you come back. No, it was like, take care of the sheep. And when God's ready, he'll call you. That's why you should never quit on God. Because he will come through when you least expect it. Maybe the best lesson you'll ever learn in life in your Christian walk. Never quit on God. Quitting is always, you always quit too soon. Because that could be just when God is about to move. When you and I have exhausted all of our resources, God is ready to reveal his. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 1:25? The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we can't compete. Oh no, we cannot compete with God. So we trust and obey. So the Apostle Paul himself, you know what he said? I will rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. To boast means to rejoice in it. Take pride in it. Like, yes, I am weak because you know why? That's when I'm strong. Because the strength that I have, oh, it comes from Christ. It's not my human strength. It's not my human ingenuity. It's not my human cleverness. No. What I have comes from God. And when it comes from God, it never fails. Think about that. See the transition? So what are the three lessons we can learn? Number one, be open. Be open to God. Number two, be ready, because you never know when the call will come. And then number three, be sensitive. Because God's selections are always sure. God chose men who would not come in their own human strength, in their own human abilities. God chose men that men would not choose, and God did not choose men that men would choose. Okay? He's very different. Yeah. Remember when you were playing pickup ball when you were a kid? Pickup basketball, baseball, dodgeball. Oh, we always tried to pick the strongest and the fastest, right? Not God. God picks the ones that he can work through. Even Jesus said, haven't I chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil? Like, Jesus, why'd you pick a devil? Because he doesn't intimidate me. You know, with Jesus, he can have the devil on his team and he's still not intimidated. Wow. Think about that. So, you know, again, where are you focusing? Don't focus on the negative things of life. Be sensitive to God's will. You know God has a calling on your life. He's called you to something great. It doesn't matter what IQ you have, and it doesn't matter what social status you have, or financial status you have, or influential status you have. It doesn't matter what you do for a living or if you do anything at all. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a calling on your life. And it's a great calling. You know why? Because God is a great God. And everything that comes from God is great. And everything we do for God is great. There's no small things. There's no small potatoes with God. Everything's big. Everything's great. Because he is a big God. Let me give you an illustration of how to focus on the positive instead of the negative. Okay? Humanly speaking, we always direct ourselves to the negative. And when you do, you miss what God is doing. In 1809, it was a very good year. But those who were alive in 1809, they didn't know that it was a good year. You know why? Napoleon was making his march across Austria. and he was conquering everything in his past, in his path. People feared that the whole world would fall into his hands. They're focusing on the negative. Oh no, it's over. But during that time, though, babies were being born. You know who was being born during Napoleon's march? William Gladstone, Alfred Tennyson, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Edgar Allan Poe, Abraham Lincoln. The lives of these statesmen and writers and thinkers would mark the beginning of an era. But nobody cared about those nobodies while Napoleon was on the march. The strange thing is that today, only history buffs could name one battle that Napoleon fought in Austria. But there is not a life of a person alive today that has not been touched in some way by the lives of those other men. You see? It's so easy to focus on the souls of life and forget that God always has a plan. It's easy to focus on, oh no, now what do I do? Oh no, now where do I go? Oh, where am I gonna get a new job? Where am I gonna live? How's this gonna work? And forget, wait a minute, God always has a plan. Oh, and by the way, it's a plan that was formulated before the creation of the world. See, God's got the whole thing figured out. The whole thing. And you know the good news? We are part of that plan. We are. And no matter how bad the world seems to be, things are happening, aren't they? Oh, are you kidding me? The world seems like it's going into a washing machine, and it's going to be tumultuous. But no matter how bad it looks, God's plan will be victorious, and his plan includes you. Think about that. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are in the plan of God. That's incredible, that you have a role to play. You have a part to perform. You are in it. Think about it. Now, I know we're living in tumultuous times. That's why on Wednesday nights, tomorrow will be August 10th. And I say the date because this will be a podcast later. August 10th here at New Hope. We've been studying some end times events. And we looked at the seven seals, and we're going to open up the seven trumpets of the seventh seal. Oh, baby. It's the judgment of God on the earth. God is going to give us a glimpse of what will happen to the earth and the people that dwell on the earth that rejected his offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. Serious thing? I'd say so. There's nothing more serious in the world than choosing Jesus Christ as Savior. You know why? Because it has eternal ramifications. All of our other choices in life will not have eternal ramifications. But this one does. This is the one that separates all of humankind. Where are you? Where are you with Christ? That's the thing. You know, there's one of three places you can be. You can be with Christ. No doubt about it, you've acknowledged he is your Lord and Savior. No one gets to the Father but through him. That's beautiful. Then there are those that are kind of like good and religious, and they attend church sometimes, and they feel that they have a goodness about them that God is pleased with, but they do not have the Holy Spirit. They're in the same category, in God's eyes, as those that said, I don't need your Jesus. I don't want your Jesus. I'm all set. Go somewhere else. Go preach to somebody else. Don't need him. Or I've got my other gods that I worship. I don't need your God. I've got my own. Well, those last two categories, they're basically in the same category. And that's why Jesus could say, listen, you're either with me or against me. That's it. There's no middle ground. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering against me. That's it. Wow. So we're going to open up the seals and we're going to see what's coming. And it's a very sobering time for planet Earth. But our faith tells us that the church will be removed. The church will be removed in the rapture, and we will not experience what is called the Great Tribulation. Oh, it's not just tribulation. It's Great Tribulation. A time of tribulation the earth has never ever seen, nor will it ever see again. All wrapped up. And actually, 3.5 years. Wow! How bad is that going to be? Next time we're together, we're going to see what I call the magic of music. You know, music plays a real dynamic role in our lives, and we're going to see how that played out. No pun intended. But we're going to see how the music played out next time we're together here on New Hope Radio. In the meantime, join the Hope Club. Come on. Go to newhoperadio.live. Click on the menu bar. Everything's there. Get a devotional every day. You give us $3 a week. We can stay on the radio. Okay? Don't forget about the Hope Club podcast. All of these messages on demand. Just type in the Hope Club podcast. Go to our website, newhopecc.tv, or iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever good podcasts are found. All right? Thanks for coming along today. Let's get together next time for more.